We are back at 6th and Peabody with Yeehaw Beer and Old Smoky Moonshine. It is the Eddie George Show presented by the Low T Center and Xander Insurance. The coach is here. The Heisman winner is here. The Renaissance man is here. And
love it, love it. Yes.
You end on a high note this past weekend.
Man,
there
dude.
We go, man.
Well, first of all, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Man, this place is decked out. It's decorative. We got the Christmas stuff up. The things. I mean, this is my favorite time of year right here.
They have been decorating, no joke, for like five straight days.
This is. It puts you in the Christmas spirit. Well, it's not even Thanksgiving yet. How do you skip over Thanksgiving? I mean, not jump right to Christmas. And now it's like Thanksgiving is just a day. You usually have like the turkeys out, the pumpkins, and.
Well, you know,
that kind of decoration, right?
I think it, like Kate and Sydney and everyone here that puts this all together would tell you that Thanksgiving is a day, but Christmas is a season.
This is it.
Look at it.
Season,
I mean,
baby. Yes, this looks good. Oh, but no, man, ended off great. First, before I jump into my game, shout out to Montgomery Bell Academy.
Yes.
They pulled out they held on to a victory against. Drawing the blank.
Out of Memphis or Chattanooga?
Out of Chattanooga.
McCauley?
McCauley.
Okay.
Yes, I think MUS, but McCauley. And it came down to the final play of the game where they scored the touchdown with 45 seconds left on the clock to tie it. Now, they were going to kick the field goal to tie it, but they went for two. And I was like, okay, here we go. This could be my son's last.
The last play.
Play of his high school career. And they go for two. They do sprint out option to the right. And typically that play is wide open, home run. Throws it to the guy in the flat. And the last second, defender reaches out, tips the ball down, game over. And I'm like, oh, God, thank you. That was awesome. And then I flew down to Dallas that same night to go be with the team. So I'm sleep deprived, everything. I was not going to miss that game. And our game, we start off fast.
Yes.
Get the pick six for seven. I'm like, okay, this could be a day. And then we kind of build a lead, and they come back, you know, fourth quarter, march the ball down the field. And with about 2 seconds left on the clock, they're going for the touchdown that could possibly tie the game with a 2-point conversion. And I'm like, okay. You know, like, I have no energy. I spent all my energy on my son last night. I'm like, oh, God, now here we go, you know, trying to just end off with a positive to end the year with a win. And our defense held up, got the knocked down the pass for a potential touchdown and to tie the game, and we won 22-14. And ironically, our defense is ranked the top five in the country in all of FCS. In red zone defense.
I mean, you had, was it four players? Yeah, four players with eight tackles or more.
Yes.
I mean, you guys were flying around. You won the turnover battle.
Yeah,
3-0.
3-0. Didn't turn the ball over. I think we finished top six in the country in turnover margin and FCS. So there's some building blocks there. Zero turnovers from our running backs. Did not have a single fumble all year.
Wow.
All season long. Yes.
Not a single fumble. Lost fumble. No fumble.
No fumbles. No, nothing touched the ground from our running backs.
That's tremendous.
It is. And in our offense showed signs and flashes of being explosive. I think we is a couple things that now that I'm kind of decompressing and thinking about the season and going back through it, we have to learn how to be a team. There's a couple ships that you have to get on and master before you can win a championship. And one of those ships is, of the three, is relationship. You know, you've got to become a team, a better teammate. And I think we're learning to do that. You have to take ownership. You have to buy into the culture, what we're doing, what we do to do, the standard that we've set on a day-to-day basis. And you have to take leadership, the leadership position, in terms of better leadership from the guys that are buying in. To whereas I don't have to run the locker room. The locker room runs itself. And we haven't reached that point yet. It's only year two. And that's where our next step is. That's the obstacle. That obstacle is the way for us to jump into the playoffs and being sustainable and being a team of excellence and winning those games against SEMO or UT Martin or Lane College or Murray State, Jackson State. Those, when you have that chemistry going, you'll find a way to win those games, because it's now not about the X's and O's. It's about the pure will and you trusting your teammate to do his job, and he's trusting you to do your job. So that's kind of where we are right now.
How many of those dudes do you need in a locker room? Like, guys that run the locker room throughout your experience?
I need one.
Okay.
All you need is one, and the rest will follow. You need one. That's really about it. You're just not going to talk about it. You have to live it. And if you're not living it, you call it out. That's what it is. It doesn't have to be the rah-rah guy that's going to give a speech and rile the guys up on a day-to-day basis. Says, let's lock in or let's break it down. No. It's the guy in the locker room where nobody's watching and say, nah, man, that's not what we do. Pick your towel up and put it in the bin. Make sure the locker room is clean. Oh, you got on blue socks? No, it's white socks only. This is what we do. We clock in and we clock out on a day-to-day basis. We're building towards something. Not letting anything slide, because it's the little things, and I keep preaching it time and time and time again, that will get you beat. It's the slight edges that will determine the outcome of a game, because now you have the moxie, you have the fortitude, you have the trust, the love, that you've all grinded through something together that, hey, this is what we're going toward. And it's so important that you have that vision in your mind, because now everybody's on the same page in terms of the vision of what you want to do collectively as a team. Then
at any level.
At any level, yeah. you're not going to accomplish anything.
So it sounds like you've had flashes of this.
Oh, yeah. It's
right?
Definitely.
From different players.
Different players.
But nothing consistent.
Nothing. And that's where it is. And that's where it is. You can have a championship roster on paper in terms of the bodies, the look, the feel, the quarterback, the this, the that, the toys. But with an 8-8 or a 500 mindset. And that's what we have to conquer.
And that's what you'll be, right, with the mindset.
With the mindset. And so everybody has to buy into, you know, what we're trying to do collectively. And that goes to with anything, your household, as a father, as a business person. If you don't have how many business people are in the house? Business owners? Nobody. How many people work for a company in here? Okay, nobody works. Okay.
They all self-employed.
So, self-employed, all right.
But not business owners.
Okay, business owners, no entrepreneurs. So you have a mission vision for your company, right? And you stick to that vision. It's the culture that you set. So that's it applies across the board. I'm pretty sure you do the same thing with your radio show.
Sure.
And you've got to stick to the script. And you've got to get the right people on board, the right production people, the right people that's going to do the financing, the marketing. All of that has to have to be on the same accord.
Just getting underway for the Eddie George Show on 102.5 The Game. We got C-Wiz in the house again tonight, Eddie. He's back.
Yes, he is.
Making it happen for us. Big thanks to Ladarius Robinson as well. When do you head to Columbus?
About full of
I know. You thought I was going to break.
I did.
I want to preview the game later. I'm just – when do you
– I leave. I'm going to leave about 10 a.m. on Friday morning.
How pumped are you?
I mean, you know what? It's different for me now. I say that as I.
So you didn't know if you were going, if you wanted to go to this game?
Well, I was contemplating. I didn't want to go because I was hoping I'd be getting ready for a playoff game.
Right.
But this will be a great road trip for my son and I, my sons and I.
Gotcha.
After Thanksgiving, just to drive up, go to the great, see, watch the greatest rivalry in all of sports.
The game.
Outside of Army and Navy, that holds a special place for me. That's the pinnacle. But there's nothing like it. And with so much on the line, there's another historic game, 2-3. Yeah, it's going to be firecracker, fireworks rocking in that stadium on Saturday morning.
So how about this for Fox? I was talking about this with Chad on the show today on Outkick 360. Thursday, Cowboys-Giants for Thanksgiving Day. Friday, USA against England in the World Cup on Fox. Saturday, Ohio State, Michigan, big noon kickoff. And then Sunday, this was going to be epic. Chiefs-Rams. when the schedule came out.
Oh, my God.
So they've got Thursday, Friday, Saturday, something. No, they've got it. I mean, they're keeping that game.
I thought the NBC took that one, huh?
I don't think so. This is the – well, NBC took the Chiefs-Chargers last week.
Okay.
That's what you're thinking of.
Okay.
Yes, Los Angeles.
Okay.
But, yeah, so you've got a four-pack there. I don't know if it gets much better for ratings.
And I used to work at Fox, and I know those guys were like, oh, my God, this is going to be the greatest week of all time for us.
And then the Rams suck.
Before all that
It's still going to be epic, though.
Yeah, it is.
You put the Cowboys on, everyone
and
tunes in.
And that's what I'm saying, Hutt. Like, this is the perfect time of year.
Yes.
Thanksgiving. The games. We have college football. You have soccer now. You got pro football matchups. The basketball starting to heat up. I mean, it is – you've got cranberry sauce. We're going to get into that.
Yeah, we
great asides.
It.
You know.
I'm ready.
Halloween candy. But we got – you know, this is the greatest – from this point on, from Christmas – excuse me, from November 25th to about January the 5th, it's one big happy hour time. It really is. Nobody's really working, right? It's kind of...
Yeah, you're right.
It's all Christmas parties.
At the corporate level,
nothing gets
accomplished now. Nothing.
So it's the happy hour time. From that point, from November 25th to about January 5th, is one big happy hour. Continuous.
Did you play on Thanksgiving Day? How many times?
I did. I played one time, I believe.
Against the Cowboys
with the Oilers.
And a win.
Yeah. And a win.
I remember this game.
We had a 16-play drive in the third quarter. But, and it would last about like 9 or 10 minutes or 12 minutes. A 12-minute drive. And just one first down after the other. And the Cowboys were checked out. They were like, you know what? We've got a couple Super Bowl rings. Let's get home. Let's get our turkeys. Let's get our family. Let them have this game.
Coming up. We preview Ohio State, Michigan.
Yes.
We're going to keep an eye on the college football playoff rankings as well. We'll go through that. Eddie George with us for the hour, presented by the Low T Center and Xander Insurance. And speaking of the Low T Center, if you need an annual health exam, I recommend going to Low T Center to get your complete health assessment. They'll check all of your levels, not just your T level. And in most cases, it's completely covered by your health insurance. If it's not, it's less than $100 for a full lab panel and an office visit with their medical provider. Will give you that complete health assessment. Low T Center specializes in men's health. They make it quick and easy for you. They even verify your insurance right there. And if you don't live near a Low T Center, chances are if you're listening to us right now in the game, you do. But if you don't and you want the convenience of at-home treatment, they've got you covered there too. Low T Center makes it quick and easy to get started on treatment. Only your first two visits are in person. You go in for the test. You come back for your results. They walk you through it. And then everything else could be at-home treatment. Go to lowtcenter.com now to book online. Lowtcenter.com. Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare. The Eddie George Show, presented by the Low T Center and Xander Insurance. Xander gives you more options. More options means more savings for you. Free quote at xanderinsurance.com. It is the game. Ohio State and Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
What does this rivalry mean to you, Eddie? Ooh. How do you put it into words?
It's not a game. It's just not. You hate to equate that to war because, you know, our veterans and so forth, but there's no other word to describe how that week is. You know, when you jump in to that week, when you're at Ohio State, you don't even watch the game that you just played. You know, they're probably not watching Maryland right now. You jump right into your next opponent, is that team up north. And you'll see the helmets for the scout team change colors. It'll represent the wingtip helmets of the maize and blue. And it's a tone that's set that's not even talked about. The attention to detail, the energy in the building. Everybody comes in a little earlier. You stay later. And practice, every practice rep counts. It's very and highly competitive. It's a little antsy because when you walk out of that tunnel, whether you're coming out of the tunnel at Michigan Stadium or at OSU, and you hear the fight songs, and you see the helmets, you see the fans. It's a different vibe when you walk into pregame. It's like it's already full. The stands are already packed in anticipation for what's about to happen, and it's an all out war. And that's the mentality. It's bad intentions when you hit somebody, okay? And a lot of it's on the line. I played in four of those games, and I can recall in 1992 when we were ranked number three in the country, it was to beat Michigan to go to the Rose Bowl. And we went up there, laid an egg, lost 28-0. 95, my senior year, again, ranked number two in the country. And they had lost to, I think, Purdue the week before. They underachieved the entire year. But against us, you know, you throw records, everything out the window. Tim Piakabatuka ran wild on us for, I guess, 313 yards or something crazy like that. And
what a throwback name.
Yeah.
You know?
But that's what it is. It's Heisman trophies on the line. It's Big Ten titles on the line. It's Rose Bowl bids. Well, back then it was Rose Bowl's bids, but this is a bid to go to play in the Big Ten Championship and punch your ticket to be one of the four to be in the fight in the playoff. So this game is everything, and it's history. Have you ever been to?
No.
Oh man, it's nothing like
when to you, either.
Okay, it's a different vibe for each one. When you come to Ohio State, it's the dotting of the I. You know, when you see Script Ohio being played, you get chills. This is like, ooh, this is.
Oh, I've gone down. Yeah, I've gone down the YouTube wormhole. I've watched the tryouts for that.
Yes.
You know.
Yes, it's serious.
Yes.
Right. And the dotting of the I in Ohio Stadium in that game, it's an eruption. Okay. Up there, pregame is probably where the fireworks pop off, because it's old school. Okay, how they have the locker rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Each locker room is right across from each other. Less than, I want to say, 10 yards. There's that much. One tunnel, and it's dark. It's a dark tunnel that leads to the field, goes down on the ramp, and there's no lighting. It's dark. And the two teams, as soon as you get off the bus, you walk in, you make the hard right, and it's old school, just hangers that are hanging up in the lockers. There's no lockers, it's hangers. That's how they treat you. You just put your stuff up and you dress up.
It's a high school locker room.
High school locker room. And then the Michigan band enters that same way. So you hear Hails to the Victor as loud as day right next to your locker. And then when you walk out pregame, they're just probably coming out with you. And the back and forth that goes on in that, oh man, it's charged up to 1,000, and by before you hit the, if you're not ready to play in that game, you don't need to be alive. It's you have so much respect for them, but you hate them for 60 minutes during the course of that day. It is it's really incredible.
How do you feel? I know it's better, it's more.
Mm-hmm.
How would you compare it to your battles with the Ravens? Which you just knew, it's kind of the same. I know the tunnel and the pageantry is different, of course, but the mentality seems to be how you would describe it.
Oh, it's on par with that. That is, yeah, it's definitely on par, because you were trying to end careers that day.
And they were doing the same to you.
Yeah. If you ended my career that day, then that was the intent.
You won.
You won.
Yeah.
It was personal. It's personal. That's the best way I can. It is a personal deal when you play against those teams, and there's no sportsmanship. There's no talking before the game. There's no helping guys up. It's none of that. You know, you're fighting for your life out there, literally. And I anticipated them being the same thing. I mean, you see the YouTube video where you see some of the players of Ohio State giving the bird to the fans.
Yes.
It's that intense. I remember when I went up there. It was in the Trestle era. I think it was 09, 07, somewhere around there, right before. It was 05. It was Troy won in 06. And I was working for Fox, ironically.
Okay.
And I took Jim Trestle called me up and said, Eddie, I need you to come in to speak to the game, for the game. And I've been removed from it for a while. And I'm like, okay, I'll come do it. So I take a red eye in to Detroit, and I fly in, get set up at the hotel, and I'm exhausted. I only have my operating up for 10, you know, maybe 2 hours of sleep, if that.
Typical day.
Typical day, right? And I go to the stadium, and in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, just the game sells itself. I don't need to give a hyped-up speech. I don't need to put forth the energy. I'm just going to say, you know, play for your teammates, your honor to be blah, blah, blah. And I have this whole thing laid out, what I'm going to say, and then I'm going to bow out. So it's a beautiful day. It's about 50-degree day in Michigan, and it's pregame, and nobody's in the stands. And I'm like, oh, man, you know, I hadn't been back since I lost to Timbiaco Chuka in 1995, which ironically was 10 years and 10-year anniversary of that game. And then, you know, I forgot, you know, how pleasant the Michigan fans were to opposing players, especially us. So I'm standing there, you know, watching the warm-ups, and the fans are coming in, and it's probably like this right now, maybe sporadic, pockets of people.
Yes.
But there was this one guy with a beer in his hand at 10:30 in the morning and barbecue stains on his shirt, and I'm standing there with Archie Griffin, and he recognized me. He says, that's Eddie George. Yeah, that's Eddie George, right? And he says, well, I can't say it on the air. F you, Eddie. He said it twice. And I turned around. I said, come down these stairs and say it to my face. And he's just going back and forth. Archie was like, no, Eddie, just calm down. And my blood is boiling. So I walked down to the other end, and it was where the student section is. And they're coming in. Oh, Eddie George, remember 1995? Timbiaco Chuka, blah, 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 blah. Da, da, da. And I said, oh, okay. I said, okay. Now it's real. Now the gloves are off.
And this is right before your speech.
Right before my speech. So I go back into the locker room to where we were. And, you know, Jim Tressel's a devout Christian. That's the coach. You don't mind if I curse, do you? He says, hey, do whatever you got to do. I said, thank you. Gave me the floor. I took my jacket off, and I'm pacing back and forth, and I'm just riveting. I'm just sweating and just blood in my eyes. I'm just ready to go. I touch my toes. I said, guys, bring it in tight. I said, this is not a game. This is war.
Right? I go on and on and on.
And by the end of my speech, I said, we're going to walk down this tunnel hand in hand, locked and loaded. And we are going to do blah, 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 blah. And I said, we're going to kick ass and all the other stuff. And they erupted in an explosion. And then we go down there, and they wind up winning the game. But I say all that to say, it never leaves you. You know, it just never leaves you. You get sucked back in immediately when you go to the game. You think you're beyond it.
It's going to hit you again.
It is. But this time I will be with my kids. And I'm thinking that now that I'm a coach of Tennessee State, that I can look at it from a different lens.
I don't know, man.
But you say that somebody now is going to say something to me to trigger me to say, you know what, Ryan? Let me address the team for a moment.
You also thought you weren't going to get into it in 2005 either. So it's going to happen again.
It's going to happen. But that's what I'm saying. That's what that game does.
When's the last time you went to this game?
Oh, wow. Oh, you know what? It was one versus two when Troy Smith in 2000, the 2006 season.
Right after
that.
The year he won the Heisman.
I went to that game and – it was, again, a special moment in time for the Buckeyes to play for a national championship that later went on to lose Tim Tebow and that crew in New Orleans, just debacle. But that's the last time I've been.
Coming up, it is 2-3, by the way, officially, yes, with the college football playoff rankings that just were released. I want to get your take on where some teams are slotted. I realize things will play out. Ohio State or Michigan will lose, and they're in the top four right now. But I want to go team by team and get your take.
Yeah. There is a dark horse that could shock a lot of people that we never saw coming.
And
yeah,
they may be positioned really well.
Perfectly.
Based on these rankings. We will dive into that. We will also discuss the Titans, who host the Cincinnati Bengals this Sunday at Nissan Stadium. And I want to talk to Eddie about revenge games because I think this is a big moment for Ryan Tannehill, because we all remember in January the performance against the Cincinnati Bengals. And since January, I've been thinking about this coming January and whether or not Tannehill's going to make the play, step up and make the throws. We'll get your take on this because this is the prime opponent to where I think we get a great snapshot of where he is right now within an offense that seems to be taking a step forward with the downfield passing attack. And Eddie's, I mean, the Halloween show was awesome. We'll get the rankings for the Thanksgiving Day feast as well with the sides and everything.
Sides is everything.
Hit us up. You can join us on Twitter, and you can join us at 615-737-1025 if you want to jump in. It's the Eddie George Show presented by the Low T Center and Xander Insurance on 102.5 The Game. It's the Eddie George Show presented by the Low T Center and Xander Insurance. We are live on 102.5 The Game. Sixth and Peabody with Yeehaw Beer and Old Smoky Moonshine. Eddie and I going with the easy tonight. Taking it easy before the holidays.
Yes, indeed. Cheers.
Cheers, man. Happy holidays. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
How's the pretzel from White Duck Taco Shop?
The pretzel is great.
This is your go-to.
Every week, I look forward to having this pretzel. But the queso sauce, it is amazing. I haven't bitten to my steak and cheese taco yet because it's, you know, I can't do it in between breaks. I gotta, you know, take my time. But anyway. But the food here is great. The service is amazing. The beer is great. The atmosphere is great. If you've never been here before, you need to come down. Check us out. Mondays, even on Tuesday, Wednesday. It is the perfect spot, I hear, on Saturdays, too.
Oh, it's the crowd
it's unbelievable
picks up
here.
Oh, for the World Cup, too. I should throw that out there. Best screens in Nashville for all of
no
it.
No question.
And, yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Is
I would
great.
Be here on Black Friday. I think people should be here for USA England.
Yes.
It'll be cranking here. Plus, next week, USA plays Iran on Tuesday. We're going to bring the show out and do it live studio outside here.
Nice.
As long as the weather's holding up, right?
No,
if it's not, then, you know, we bundle up and go. All right. Here we go, Eddie. Here's your top 25. I'm not going to go through all 25. The college football playoff rankings. Georgia remains number one. Mm-hmm. Ohio State and Michigan, no surprise, at 2 and 3.
Yep.
So, Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, and TCU remains number four. Again, no shocker. Here's what I was intrigued about through the eyes of the committee, who have been very consistent in where they put Tennessee, who was five, and right behind them last week was LSU. But then there was USC, and USC played UCLA. They have a Heisman Trophy favorite. I won't say favorite. C.J. Stroud's still the favorite in Vegas. But Caleb Williams is putting
on. Dark horse. That's my pick.
And LSU is fifth in the nation for the college football playoff rankings, followed by USC. And then here's a real surprise for me, too. Alabama remains at 7, and Clemson is at 8. And they've got South Carolina and then an ACC championship game. And I'm looking at this going, man, and so the climb for Clemson to get in as a one loss, I thought the path all of a sudden was open for Tennessee after their loss. And Clemson remains behind Bama and LSU at 5, and USC is at 6. And the reason I stress this is the committee's telling us if LSU wins two straight games now, they've got Texas A&M, and then the SEC championship game against Georgia.
Yes.
That will be the best win of the college football season.
Yes.
And before they even have that, a two-loss LSU team is ahead of the one-loss USC Trojans, who will play Notre Dame this week.
Who's 15th.
And then the Pac-12 championship game
but
later.
But I think if USC takes care of business against Notre Dame, who's ranked 15th, they won't jump them then. But I think if everything holds true, Oregon takes care of business, and they go into that game and they beat Oregon, I think they go slightly ahead of LSU. Even if LSU wins.
Over Georgia. Again, that's the best college football win of the season if they do that. It's crazy.
And this is awesome.
And who it really hurts is Ohio State or Michigan, because one of those two teams will lose. And
I think Ohio State's in.
If they lose,
I
realize this. This is one of my rules. It's not if you lose, it's how you lose, right? So the perception of a last kick, 53-yard field goal for the win by Michigan is viewed different than a 24-point blowout in the fourth quarter.
But we're assuming that TCU loses.
I'm not.
You're saying
I mean,
that 11-0?
I have been saying that every week, Eddie, and they continue to find a way to win. They had no business beating Baylor. Hey, Baylor was better last week.
But clearly they weren't. They didn't win the game.
No doubt. No doubt.
So I think TCU, man, gosh. And they have Texas next?
Yes. No, they've already beat Texas.
They beat Texas.
I'll look this up, but they've got one more, and then they have the Big 12 championship game.
Wow. This is why I love college football, right?
Me too.
This is the Iowa State.
They're hosting Iowa State.
You never know. They could knock them off knowing this crazy season. But.
And then it's probably – I think it's Kansas State right now that they would face in the Big 12 championship game.
Wow.
Who's 12th in the country.
It is a very interesting deal.
How is Bama ahead of Clemson right now?
I mean, Clemson has – who they play?
But they started the season
quality win?
in the first college football playoff rankings. They were in the four,
right?
And then they lost to Notre Dame and fell down to like 10th or 11th, maybe a little bit lower than that. And they've worked their way back up to 8 because we've seen some teams fall out now: Oregon, Tennessee.
Well, you think about the wins for Clemson. The ACC is not very strong.
Well, no doubt.
So that's part of the problem. I'm not saying that they're not worthy, but their body of work doesn't demonstrate that. I mean, look, but LSU, my goodness. You know, if they were to knock off Georgia, I mean, you almost have to look at the first two-loss team in the Final Four. And if Ohio State were to lose to Michigan, what happens there? You know, do you kick TCU down and you have a Georgia, Michigan, Ohio State, or LSU, Ohio State scenario? That to me is very intriguing.
Again, so let's fast forward just briefly, maybe 2 minutes on this. 12-team playoff.
Oh.
So the debate tonight would be Kansas State or Washington, because Penn State or Kansas State, because Tulane at 19 actually gets in as the 12 seed automatically.
Because
so they would take over the Kansas State spot. And the debate would be, is Kansas State or Penn State worthy of being at 11? So it would be round one, whenever we actually get to the college football playoff, 12 teams. You would have Tulane on the road at LSU.
Mm.
And Penn State would be at USC.
Mm.
Tennessee at Bama.
Woo.
In a rematch there. And then Clemson and Oregon. Again, it's just – and that's on campus. It's on campus.
Oh, man. And that's why I wish it was now.
Me too.
Because you can't –
It's a
very good year to have. Because you have Tulane, who's came out of nowhere. You have the Cinderella story.
Right.
You get their due.
Yeah.
Their end. You get some classic matchups that you typically wouldn't probably see. You have – you said – Oregon and Clemson? Oregon at Clemson? Or Clemson
yes.
At, or Clemson, or Oregon
Clemson
at
would
Clemson.
Host Oregon.
Oh, man. That would be an awesome deal. And you have the four byes clearly with the top four teams.
Yeah, Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, TCU. Again, just joining us, LSU is at 5. They move up to the Tennessee spot. They move up 1. USC does as well. And, again, the Trojans didn't jump the Tigers. And I think that's significant for all scenarios and – what could happen, and there's going to be craziness. We saw craziness last week.
Well, Tennessee losing to South Carolina the way they did was a shit.
I was dumbfounded.
Yeah. Well, indeed, Hendon Hooker.
I know. That's so unfortunate that he's done.
He's done. And you have
you
to
think
wonder.
Will he be invited to,
yeah, I
to
think
New
so.
York?
I believe so. I think so. I think that would be the right thing to do. He may not win it now.
Right.
But.
Yeah. Because CJ Stroud's on center stage this week, and then Caleb Williams has Notre Dame coming up. So,
well, here, this is the last test. This is the last deal for, Stroud, because he might have the game against where they play for the Big Ten Championship game. But certainly, in terms of getting that slight edge, Caleb Williams, with a big game this weekend, could sneak in there and win the whole thing. I mean, that's my dark horse to win the Heisman Trophy. I think it comes down to a two-man race. C.J. Stroud right now is the guy, but Caleb Williams is a strong second, and he's gaining momentum.
Coming up, Eddie gives us his tricks to the trade of deep frying the turkey. Mm. He's got two of them right now ready to go for Thanksgiving Day. We will get his take there. We'll also rank our best sides because Eddie's all about the food and the candy. And I think I got you beat here. I've been thinking about this all day.
All right, well, let's find out.
Yeah, I wonder how many will have similar as well. Plus, Titans-Bengals this Sunday. We'll get Eddie's take on the matchup against Cincinnati and the significance for Ryan Tannehill against the defense that intercepted him three times this past January. All of that and more coming up on the Eddie George Show. We are presented by the Low T Center and Xander Insurance on 102.5 The Game. 10 minutes remaining in the Eddie George Show, presented by the Low T Center. They'll provide you with a complete health assessment, fast, convenient, and easy to get started. LowTCenter.com, reinventing men's healthcare, and by Xander Insurance. Xander gives you more options. More options means more savings for you. Free quote at XanderInsurance.com. Eddie's going to join us in studio tomorrow for Outkick 360 here at 6th and Peabody.
Mm-hmm.
Does C-Wiz come for that as well?
It depends. I know where he's going to be on Thursday. At my house, you know, he comes every year. I have my famous fried turkey. I've been cooking for the last, 15, 16 years? And I constantly kind of tweak different things in terms of my process and how I do it. You know?
So now you have two. So are you doing different things for each, or is it exactly the same?
Well, no. It's two different flavors.
Okay.
So this year on the menu is my classic Cajun Italian deep fried turkey. Okay.
You going to bring some of this for me next week? You have some leftover?
If it survives, I can't promise you that.
I'm going to pay you to make me a third.
You got to make it till Monday. We're talking about Thursday, Friday.
Never mind.
I'll save something.
You are out of town, though, so maybe.
And then I'm doing a jerk-flavored fried turkey. I want to try that. You know, a little island flavor. I'm feeling like I want to be in Turks and Caicos or somewhere in the Caribbean. I want to bring the Caribbean here, right? So I'm going to have some plantains. I'm going to do the fried turkey. So
I love this because you realize you're in a position where if you want to be in Turks and Caicos for Thanksgiving, you absolutely could do it in 24 hours.
I checked the flights. I've done it. I
love it.
Let's talk to the concierge with the AMX and try to look at some dates I can go, but there's no availability at this point in time. And my oldest son's coming home, so I'm like, I can't take him to Turks and Caicos. I want to hear, Dad, I need. Dad, I want. No, I want to be left alone when I go to the islands.
Okay, well, I've got my sides in Thanksgiving.
Yes.
I got my feast here. You ready?
And you had the audience vote, right?
Yeah, I want the audience to chime in on who has the best five.
Okay.
But I need to know, is turkey and dressing one or two things?
Turkey dressing?
Turkey and dressing.
It's two things.
Okay, so
that's it,
I just need the dressing then.
Okay, all right.
I just need the dressing. If I can only choose one. Now, I think I could have both. I could argue for this, but I would go with dressing.
Now, my question to you is,
go ahead.
Roasted turkey
mm-hmm.
or smoked turkey or deep fried turkey?
So I don't think I've had deep fried turkey at Thanksgiving. I would go with smoked turkey if I had the choice.
Who agree? No, you can't say both.
Oh, roast.
Roast? Have you had a deep fried turkey? No. Hell, no.
I'm saying for Thanksgiving.
There's no way you could say... Oh, baby, you haven't. Have you had gravy like from a deep fried the roux? Have you done that? No. You see, you're missing life. You're missing life. I'm saying. I'm telling you, you're missing it. Okay, you say roasted. Who we got to hit this table? What?
Deep fried.
Deep fried. Okay, stop right there. Deep fried. Okay.
Here's the prediction. I'm going to lose this because Eddie's up here. Asking things that he loves and makes, which is deep fried. Okay, sweet potato casserole, hands down, for the win. Sweet potato casserole, let's go.
Sweet potato casserole is the one. But I think everybody judges a Thanksgiving meal based on the macaroni and cheese. If the macaroni and cheese is not, so macaroni and cheese or
sweet potato casserole? Sweet potato casserole above mac and cheese. Because I don't have sweet potato casserole any other day. I get mac and cheese all the time. I had it today for lunch with barbecue.
But with the Thanksgiving meal.
Again, It's on my plate.
That is the cornerstone of Thanksgiving is the mac and cheese.
This is going to be awful, I think, for most. I go green beans. I love them. Give me green beans.
Green beans? No. I'm going to go with this. Canned cranberry sauce.
Canned
cranberry sauce.
That's like, to me, that's like the candy corn of Halloween. You either
love it
or you hate it.
But canned cranberry sauce.
Finally.
Okay.
Pecan pie.
Sweet potato.
Sweet potato pie?
Sweet potato. Sweet potato or pecan?
Chess. Huh? Chess pie. Chess is legit as well.
I'm not a big chess guy. I'm strictly sweet potato. I can't do. I've never gotten to chess pie in my life.
My family has three massive pecan trees right in front of our house on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
The best pecan pie. What if I bring a slice of pecan pie to you and you bring some turkey here next week?
Ooh, let's do it.
All right.
Let's do it. There it is.
You agree with me on this. You just the order's a little different. I put mashed potatoes on here. I didn't go with that in my five, though. I'm going with things that I wouldn't normally have.
I would take over the green beans. I would definitely take the cranberry out of the cranberry sauce out of the can, but also greens, collard greens.
Oh, I love those too.
Collard greens with turkey flavor. Oh, my wife makes the best collard greens on the planet, and that to me the cornerstones: mac and cheese, collard greens, sweet potato casserole. Those three. Now, what kind of bread?
I just want the small, I don't know what they're called. You'll know. Just the small rolls that are like, it's
Hawaiian?
Not
Hawaiian roll?
It's a sweet roll. The sweet roll. It's not sourdough.
No. You have to be specific. You can't just give a roll.
I don't know what it's called.
It's got to be the Hawaiian sweet roll.
That's it.
See, if it's not a Hawaiian sweet roll, then you don't have the roll.
No, the sweet roll, I'm saying.
A Hawaiian sweet roll is
a small version, right?
Yes.
That's what I want.
Yes.
Peel off, go.
Peel off, and you dip it in the gravy, and it's a wrap. And I'm getting hungry now. You know, now I wish it was Thanksgiving right now.
You guys are making me really hungry right now.
Yeah, we got Kenny back in the studio. Kenny Adams making it happen. Big shout out to Ladarius Robinson as well. And to Low T Center and Xander Insurance. You buy into the revenge game type things that linger on a player's mind?
You know what? Not during the season. When I was with the Titans, we had a revenge preseason game with the Rams. In the playoffs, absolutely. For me, it was the Ravens. And that game meant more to me than anything else. And, I was willing to die that day on the field if it called for me to do that.
And that's what made the games great, because their defense felt the same way.
Oh, yes. If you went into that game any other way, you weren't going to win.
Yeah, well, it wasn't Titan Ravens.
Yeah.
You know, Titans. It was Ravens Bengals or something.
So this one,
wasn't good.
He did not have the best game of his career. And people are saying, well, he's probably done it. The offense changed over the course of that week or prior to that when Derrick Henry came back. Recall, he was out 8 weeks,
mm-hmm.
for 8 weeks, and they tried to feature him. And that changed the tone of the game. Prior to that, they found a way to win. Tannehill was in a groove. Who was the young man that was there? Deontay Foreman was there. He was running the ball really well. They were stretching the ball down the field, getting it to A.J. Brown. They were just hitting all cylinders. But when Derek comes back, it changed the offense to become the Derek's offense again. And something was off. And then it was time for Tannehill to step up and make those plays, and he wasn't able to do it. That first interception just really set the tone for the rest of the day for him. So this game here, it's a lot on the line, but not really. I think now they're in a better offensive rhythm than they were 4 or 5 weeks ago. Trey Burks is coming back.
Great game.
Tight end is really come on as a
Austin Hooper and Chigakonkwo.
Oh man, so yeah.
You're right.
That part is they're a different team than they were a year ago. So revenge game, no, I don't think that's going to be his motivation. His motivation is going to be to go out and continue the momentum that they have. Because they're getting counted out every season. Nobody thought they were going to go up to Green Bay and do that.
No, not that way.
Not that way. They dominated.
It was different. Yes, I agree.
Derek didn't have the big splashy numbers, but he was effective as a passer, as a runner. The 80 yards or so that he did get were meaningful. Because that means everybody else is getting involved. Complimentary football, Vrabel football, and is getting better as we're moving on deep into November, early December football. So I like what I see out of the Titans. And they're finally getting some national respect. They're finally getting some national respect.
This is the time of year when you get that, though. It's Thanksgiving when you start to make your – Bill Belichick would say the season really starts right now.
It does, and because you're separating the contenders from the pretenders. The teams that are on the fringe that, we don't know if we're going to make the playoffs. And you're going to start to see more blowouts, like hence last night. Mm-hmm. You saw out of the 49ers and
Cardinals.
And the Cardinals. So you're starting to see that separation take place.
Eddie, keys to the game for Ohio State this week. And a prediction, you're going to say line of scrimmage.
Ooh,
because
of
it goes back to the Northwestern game when you need a half yard.
And
Michigan stout up front.
And that's the problem. I don't know how healthy the backs are at Ohio State. They've been in and out of the lineup all year long.
The Jigba's banged up too. Right.
So Stroud throwing the football in this game, supposed to rain. I don't know if you're going to throw it all over the yard and you'll have drop passes. I mean, so much can happen with that incomplete pass. Once you make one incomplete pass on first down, you're behind the chains immediately. And that's the risk-reward situation with Ohio State's offense. They're not built on the run. Michigan is built for the run. They're built for these types of games, 19-17. Okay, they're comfortable with those close games and shorten the game in that regard. Iron fist for 60 minutes. And Ohio State has the capability of doing it, but if you're not practicing that every day, that's not how you're built and that's who you are, it's going to be tough to shift gears and say, okay, today we want to play bully ball. So I'm going to say Ohio State finds a way to win, but it's not going to be easy. No way. It's going to be a tight ball game. It's going to be a low scoring game. I think Ohio State will find a way to win in the end by a field goal.
I'm taking the Buckeyes as well to cover 7.5.
Really?
I think it's just a late possession, maybe an extra field goal tacked on to make it 10, right? Or 9, whatever. The Buckeyes, to me, are right there with Georgia, the most talented team in the country. And I think they show up in this game, especially after what happened last year. And then, the talk that Michigan's the more physical team.
Oh, yeah.
You got to meet that challenge.
You have to be built that way. You just can't decide the day of that, hey, we're going to be physical, if you haven't practiced that and preached that. So I'm curious to see just how physical they're going to be for 60 minutes. That's going to be the key.
Hey, it's great to be back this week. We are back on Monday.
It's already over?
The TSU season heads to the off season, but we will be here on Monday talking all things football, college football playoff, Titans reaction to their matchup against the Bengals, and so much more. It's the Eddie George Show, live at 6th and Peabody with Yeehaw Beer and Old Smoky Moonshine, presented by the Low T Center and Xander Insurance. Hope you'll join us here this coming Monday, starting at 6 o'clock on 102.5 The Game.